Hi, gang. It's me again, Steve Charney. The name of the program is called Knock on Wood. Oh, has sort of lots of meanings, knock on wood. Because Harry's made of wood, we sort of knock on his wood. And it means knocking on him, you know, it means like sort of putting someone down. It also means luck. Knock on wood means luck. I know Candace Bergen actually, she wrote an autobiography called Knockwood, not Knock on Wood. She was the daughter of Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, the greatest ventriloquist, probably, or at least most well-known ventriloquist in the 20th century. So there we have it, Knock on Wood. Well, we bring comedy to you as well as a lot of other things. I'm going to be reading from a newsletter that is put out by Paul Hurto, talking about eating insects. Really interesting. Interesting material, to say the least. Harry's going to be in, of course. We're going to be listening to Flanders and Swan, Alan Sherman, Homer and Jethro. We're going to start off with Spike Jones. You know how much I love Spike Jones. This one is Love and Bloom. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? Spike Jones! Yeah. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. We're waiting for Harry. He's going to be in real soon. But before he shows up, I thought I'd read from this newsletter. The Culture Connection newsletter, language arts newsletter that connects third and sixth grade readers to other cultures. It's put out by Paul Hurto, who has spent time all over the world teaching children. This one is about Africa. He's also been in Ecuador, a number of other places. Now listen to this. See if you can get into this. Whoa. Two parts to this. He writes it. Try it, you'll like it, is the name of the column. Are you brave? Brave enough to try something different, like fried green tomatoes, maybe? How about, let's say, fried white termites? As I mentioned earlier, whenever you learn about other cultures, you discover that some things are very different from what you're used to. That's exciting to me, he writes, because I like to try things that are different. It's amazing to think that what is very different to me could be normal for other people, like eating termites. In Kenya, I was different because I didn't snack on termites like most people there. But when the termites came out of the ground at the beginning of the rainy season, I tried them. And guess what? I liked them. Most students get a kick out of that when I tell them. So I remind them that most foods in Kenya and Ecuador, like corn, bananas, potatoes, peanuts, chicken, fish, just to name an armful, are foods that we eat often in the United States. But think twice. There are plenty of insect eaters in the United States, too. No, I'm not talking about birds, spiders, lizards, and bats. I'm talking about people. The University of Wisconsin publishes a newsletter called the Food Insects Newsletter. It is chock full of wonderful recipes and dishes, all featuring insects as the main ingredient. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. How about you? I don't know if Harry would like the idea of termites, since he's made of wood. Now, here's his story of having the queen for dinner. When I first arrived at my new school in Kenya, I told my students that I was interested in trying different foods. A few days later, one of my students brought me the queen termite, that is. This student's family was building a new house out of wood. There was a termite mound close by, and since termites like to eat wood, the family had to demolish the mound. Deep inside, they found the queen termite, and my student brought her to me alive. The queen looks like an ant with a cocoon extending from her thorax. But this cocoon is actually a mammoth egg sac. It's about 4 inches long, 1 inch wide, and filled with a milky mucus-like substance from which she produces millions of termite larvae. In fact, her egg sac is so heavy, she can't even move. Nowadays in Kenya, the queen is not commonly eaten, but in the past she was considered a delicacy. So in my excitement at having a chance to eat one, I put the queen on the floor in my room, since it couldn't go anywhere, and I hurried off to ask an elderly neighbor woman how to prepare it for dining. I got some funny looks from a few of my neighbors when they heard that I wanted to eat the queen. Some thought it was disgusting. I don't know why. Do you? I know why. I was told that the queen should be wrapped in a banana leaf and baked, so I hurried out to get a banana leaf. When I returned, ready to prepare my sumptuous treat, I noticed that in my hurry, I had left the door to my room slightly open. I went in, and there, in the middle of the floor, where the queen once lay, was a young chicken, jerking its head and blinking its bulging eyes, as chickens usually do. I concluded that either my queen termite magically turned into a chicken, or that bug-eyed, mangy chicken ate my queen. In any case, I lost what was probably the only chance I'll ever have to eat an African queen termite. What a tragedy. I guess the Kenya proverb is true, hurry, hurry, has no blessing. That's from the Culture Connection. It's a newsletter put out by Paul Herto, and it's an educational newsletter, turning kids on to other cultures. I don't know if he's turning people on or turning them off, but it certainly is interesting, isn't it? The idea that people eat termites, eat insects. He's a teacher. Goes all around the world. Teaching. Okay, let's listen to Flanders and Swan now.
Oh, nobody loves the rhinoceros much. If you ask the reason why, they will tell you because of his scaly touch or his hard and glittering eye. But should you ask a truthful man, you will get this quick response: I do not trust that thing on his nose, the bodger on his bonds. Oh, the bodger on the bonds, the bodger on the bonds. Pity the poor old rhino with the bodger on the bonds. Yet a sensitive heart the rhinoceros owns. If you doubt it, here's the proof: that thing on his nose is for taking stones out of a horse's hoof. He seldom, if ever, meets a horse. It is this that makes him sad. When he does, then it hasn't a stone in its hoof, but he would if he did and it had. Oh, the bodger on the bonce, the bodger on the bonce. Pity the poor old rhino with the bodger on the bonce. And just to bring pleasure to those who like to enjoy the natural scene, He picks up litter on his spike to keep the forest clean. And if one day to his habitat for a picnic you should roam, he will open a tin should you have left your opener at home. With the bodger on the bonce, the bodger on the bonce, pity the poor old rhino with the bodger on the bonce. So treat the rhinoceros as your friend, though he looks a fearsome sight. He amply justifies his end because his means are right. And ask yourself, would you do as well, fulfilling long-felt wants, if nature had endowed you with a bodger on your bonce? Yes, a bodger on your bonce, a bodger on your bonce, if nature had endowed you with a bodger on your bonce, a bodger on your bonce,
a bodger on your bonce.
Thank you, my dear chap.
Great pleasure.
The Bestiary of Flanders and Swan. The bodger on the bonce? I don't know, I guess that's English. I've never heard of it. A bodger on the bonce. Okay. Well, this is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Harry's joined me.
Right, Steve?
Missed that story about the termites.
I heard it out in the hall. Ugh, termites. Don't like them.
Guess not, since you're made of wood.
Certainly don't. However, I do feel like doing something now.
Oh, what?
I feel like doing some impossible things again.
Oh, no, I hate when you start doing impossible things.
Why?
Because they're impossible.
I know. That's why I like to do them.
How can you do them if they're impossible?
Because I'm on the radio, because I'm not real, because this program is only limited by your imagination, because, well, that's the kind of guy I am.
You're impossible.
Exactly! Now, for my first feat, I'm going to tie this apple into a knot.
That apple you have in your hand, you're going to tie that into a knot?
That's what I just said.
That's impossible!
I know, that's why I'm doing it. The trick is in the wrist, Steve. Now, and remembering my old Boy Scout training, I'd like to ask you, would you like me to tie a half-tether sailor's hitch or the old square knot?
I don't care what you do, because you can't do it.
All right, I'll do a sailor's hitch. And I take this end, pull it up here, okay. I twist it over like so. I bring this side through there, over, under, around, and through, okay. One more twist there. Quick pull, and voila! This apple is knotted.
I don't believe I'm seeing it. You actually tied a knot in an apple?
Yep. I find you more fun to eat that way.
I'm amazed. I thought it was impossible.
It is. I'll just put this away here. Now, how would you like me to go through the eye of this needle, Steve?
Yeah, right, Harry. Let me explain something. You're what, 3'2"? You're wearing shoes, clothes, you have a half-eaten apple in your pocket now? The eye of the needle is what, a 32nd of an inch wide and maybe a quarter of an inch long? You can't go through that eye. It's impossible.
I know it's impossible, Steve. I just asked you if you wanted me to do it.
Sure, go ahead, do it. Jeez.
Okay, I didn't say it was going to be easy, did I? Now, first I put my hand in. Hold the needle, Steve. I need leverage.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here we go. Yeah. Okay. Ah. I got 3, 4 fingers through. And now the knuckles. Good. Finally the thumb. There. That's a good beginning, Steve. The rest of the arm slides right in. There we go. Now I'll start on my leg. Probably shouldn't have worn my boots today. It doesn't make it any easier, you know.
I can't believe this.
Hold the needle steady, Steve. You're not supposed to believe it. What I'm doing is quite impossible. All right. The foot's in. Now I slide the leg up to the thigh. There we go. I'm almost halfway through, Steve. Just get my other hand in. There. Okay. Slide that arm through. Hey, wait. Hold the needle steady, Steve. I almost fell.
Sorry.
Next, I'm going to slip my head through the eye.
Ooh, so now you have 3 eyes in your head.
This isn't time for jokes, Steve. Uh-oh.
What?
I'm stuck.
Aha, see? I told you it was impossible. You didn't believe me.
I did believe you. If it was possible, there wouldn't have been any reason to do it. Now what am I gonna do?
Grease?
Yeah, go get the grease and hurry. This is extremely uncomfortable.
This'll teach you to go try to put yourself through the eye of a needle. Now let's hear a recording while I try to extricate you.
Right, Steve.
Elijah was a wooden Indian, didn't know what to do. He fell in love with an Indian maiden, she was a wooden too. Elijah, loved that Indian maid with all his soul. But he was low man on the totem pole. She was the daughter of Sitting Bull, this wooden Indian dame. She told old Elijah Squatting Heifer was her name. Elijah, when he tried to hold her many charms, Elijah, he got splinters in his arm. Poor old Elijah finally got a kiss. Poor old Elijah wished that he had missed. Is it any wonder that his face is red? Elijah had termites in his head.
Cows, he didn't have the pull. He set a bucket under them and pumped the bucket full. Elijah,
when the cows would hear him, they would wail. Here comes old Lassie Fingers with his pail. When he sings Peter Cottontail, the rabbit never cheers. He takes the cotton from his tail and stuffs it in his ears. Elijah, sprayed his throat to help his voice each day, but all it does is keep the flies away. Poor old Elijah, he finally got a wife. She made him shave his whiskers off with his hunting knife. Poor old Elijah, he ain't around today. He shaved too close and whittled himself away.
Homer and Jethro. Yeah. This is Knock on Wood and I'm Steve Charney. Harry's doing impossible things. I told him not to put himself through the eye of a needle. Only camels are supposed to do that. But did he listen? No. So he got his arms and a leg through, but when he tried to stick his head in, he got stuck. I got the grease and he finally made it through. But at what price?
Hey, I did it, didn't I?
Yeah, but you had to get all greased up.
Look, do you think doing impossible things is easy? No! When I tied a knot in that apple, it took me weeks of practice before I got it right.
Don't you understand that it's impossible to tie a knot in an apple, just as it's impossible to go through the eye of a needle?
I know. That's why I'm doing it. I thrive on doing the impossible. For instance, you see this rock here?
Let me see it. Yep, that's a rock.
Watch this, Steve.
You're eating the rock?
Don't be silly. I wouldn't eat a rock. I'm just going to blow a bubble with it.
Like bubble gum?
Uh-huh.
That's impossible, you know.
You're telling me. Stand back, Steve. It's gonna be a big one.
Wow, are you sure it's not a trick?
Of course not. See the bubble. Continually see it popping.
Yeah, still feels like a rock. Rock blown into a bubble.
Now, hand me that needle I went through before.
What are you going to do with the needle?
What, Steve? Wow! You popped a rock! That's
impossible?
Yeah! Do me a favor.
What?
Open up the CD player for me, Steve. I'm getting in.
You can't get into a CD player. Look how little that CD player is. Look how big and clumsy you are next to it. And there's already a CD in there.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get in and spin around on the CD and sing along with the music.
Sure. You are.
That's impossible! Just open up the player, please.
All right. There we go.
And now I'll step in.
Slide the door back and then press play.
Right. Can you hear me? Huh? Can you hear me?
Yeah!
All right. Are you securely fastened so you don't spin off the CD onto the sides?
Yup!
Maybe you should put your safety belt on.
I don't think they've installed safety belts on the inside of the CD player.
They haven't? Well, I'm calling the proper agency and reporting them. That's illegal. You have to have safety belts in your CD player, so if the artists want to buckle up while they're spinning around and playing, they can.
You know, you're a nut. I just hit the play button. I'll be fine. I'm holding on to the sides of the disc.
You understand that what you're doing is impossible, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make things clear here. And here goes. I'm going to play that instrumental of Old MacDonald Had a Farm, okay? Here goes, Har. I'm turning it off there. Harry, come on out of there. Where's the eject button? Oh, here it is. Come on out.
Okay, Steve, see, I told you.
Whoa, what's the matter?
I'm dizzy. You think it's easy going around at that speed? Whoa, give me a second here. My blood is still spinning. Whoa, I can only stand.
What blood? You're hollow. You're made of wood.
Well, something's spinning around in there.
Well, it's not blood.
I think it is.
It is not. You're a puppet, a doll. You don't have blood.
Hand me that needle.
The old needle again here.
Watch, Steve. Ouch!
Hey, don't prick your foot. What's the matter with you? You'll ruin a perfectly good needle.
Look at that, Steve.
Wait a second. You're bleeding. But that's impossible.
I know. That's why I'm doing it.
Catskill ladies, sing this song. Hoo-ha! Hoo-ha! Sitting on the front porch playing Mahjong all hoo-ha day. Mammy's little baby loves matzah. Mammy's little baby loves matzah balls. Mammy's little baby wants pots and pots of lots and lots of matzah balls. Stole the skillet, stole the lead, stole a lot of balls made of Pesach bread. Stole the chicken out of the soup, stole the soup. Mammy's little baby loves matzah. Mammy's little baby loves matzah balls. Mammy's little baby wants pots of lots and lots of matzah. Oh, balls!
Alan Sherman from his first and biggest-selling record, My Son the Folk Singy. Okay, I loved Alan Sherman when I was growing up. Really did. Well, this is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Harry's been doing these impossible things on today's show, if you tuned in late. I don't have to tell you, it makes me nervous as heck. I guess I didn't mind the apple being knotted or the rock being blown into a bubble. I didn't even feel that bad about you going through the eye of a needle. But when you started bleeding, well, that's disconcerting. After all, you're just a puppet.
Don't worry, Steve. All those things are impossible to do.
If you're impossible, how can you do them?
Oh, you're so impossible. Just enjoy the show.
Well, that's impossible for me to do.
Now, take a look at what I have.
I don't see anything.
Of course not. Look, it's a black hole.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're holding a black hole. Do you have any idea what a black hole is?
Of course I do. This is one right here.
A black hole is all the matter in, let's say, the Earth, the whole entire Earth, condensed into a space the size of a marble.
I know. Hence this marble-sized black hole I'm holding in my hand.
If that was a black hole, it would be impossible for you to hold it.
I know! That's why I'm doing it!
Everything in this room, everything in this whole city, and the whole world would be sucked into it!
Sure, hand me a ring.
Well, what do you want with it?
Look, see? See? Whoa! The ring just got sucked into the black hole.
Hey, that was an expensive ring.
Makes a great vacuum cleaner. Just run it across the floor and it sucks up all the dust.
Look, just get rid of that thing, will you? It makes me nervous.
All right, Steve. I'll just put it over here.
Hey, you just sucked up the CD I was going to play.
Sorry.
You understand that all the laws of physics have just been broken.
I know.
So why are you doing it?
Because it's fun.
It's impossible to break the laws of physics.
I know. Now for my final impossible feat. I'm going to fold up the studio like a handkerchief, put it in my pocket, and take it home with me.
That's impossible.
Yeah. I'll start with this corner and fold it down into the middle of the room like so. There we go.
Hey, stop that. The program director's going to be very upset with you.
All right, here we go. Put it right here. Now, get over to this corner and fold it over this way. Ow, ow!
Look what you just did. You just knocked over the telephone.
Sorry. Now, this corner goes over here, like so.
Hey, you're not giving me much room to work with here.
Well, you're not going to need much room to work, Steve.
Why?
Well, you're going to be folded up in the room.
Well, what do you mean? I have to engineer the program.
Don't worry, Steve. I'm keeping a tape of the theme song and one tape player out. I'll do the final credits. I'll fold up the room right here. In the middle down.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm being folded up into this room like being in a blanket.
Now I'll take the whole thing and fold it in half again.
You know what you're doing is impossible, don't you?
I know. And, let me fold it again one more time. Okay. There. The whole room fits into my shirt pocket now. Here we go. Just slip it in there. I can take it home and open it up in the living room. That way we can work from home tomorrow, Steve. Steve? Well, I guess he can't hear me folded up in my shirt pocket like that. Well, the only thing left is to play the theme and read the credits. Lucky I kept the theme song out.
Thank you.